You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Great weekend, everybody. Gang's all here, ready to go. It's one of those where Sunday night I'm watching and I go, after it's 28 to nothing, and I thought, I'm exhausted. And then I realize, still got the national title game coming up Monday night. But I am a warrior. I'm a couch warrior. I'll be on that couch tonight. You need me on that couch. You want me on that couch tonight. I will be there. If I would have told you on Thanksgiving, the Steelers, the Seahawks, and the Titans won't make it to the second round. None of those teams will make it to the second round, even though all three will have home playoff games. You probably would think, I would probably guess one of the three would advance. If I would have said that the Steelers will lose to Cleveland at home, Titans will lose to Baltimore at home, Seattle will lose to the Rams at home. I'm not surprised the Browns won. I'm surprised how they won. As far as Seattle, if I'm Seattle and I'm Pete Carroll right now, I really have to think long and hard about what is it that we're missing here? Because I have Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, Russell Wilson still in his prime. I got Jamal Adams. I got a pretty good defense that came to life in the second half of the season. You had a great first half of the season. And then you're at home and you look less than inspiring and you got manhandled by the Rams. That would be frustrating if I start to look at this and go, well, we can't blow anything up. The Steelers. It's the end of a season, the end of an era, it feels like for me, in Ben Roethlisberger. I'm not going to pin all of this on Ben. In fact, if you're the Steelers, you really have to look at that offense and say, we got to kind of reinvent ourselves. Who are we? What's our identity? The Steelers have always run the football. Always. They'd average 100 yards per game. This is the first year that they haven't. Average 84 yards per game. In a non-threatening 84 yards. But you start to look at the Steelers and you go, okay, what would you do? Well, I got to start with Ben. Because Ben, even if he's there for one more year, this is a team that's still together that is young. I got a young defense there. I got some skill position guys. I got to kind of figure out what do we have and who are we as we move forward. The Titans. Derrick Henry, 2,000 yards. Play action pass from Ryan Tannehill. You're playing at home. And then Baltimore came in, and Baltimore, the last month of the season, was the team that nobody wanted to face. Because it felt like Lamar Jackson maybe had this epiphany or a light bulb went off that, you know, it was basically, I got to go back being who I used to be. Not a pocket guy. You know, I felt like they were trying to make him more of a pocket passer in the first half of the season. I thought the second half of the season, it was Lamar Jackson saying, I'm going to get 100 yards rushing. I might get 195 passing. But if I'm John Harbaugh, I roll the dice with Lamar Jackson. And I just say, this is the only way we can win. I give credit to that defense. That defense was wonderful yesterday against Tennessee. But you have this philosophy, almost like Cam Newton with Carolina in 2015 when he won went to the Super Bowl. He won the MVP. I'm going to pick my spots. I'm going to make some plays. And we're going to live and die by me with whatever I do with my legs and my arm. That's the feeling I get when I'm watching Baltimore. It's a good team, but a dangerous team now because it feels like, and I talk about this all the time. I know I talk about it too much. It's trying to find out who you are. Bill Belichick famously treats the first four games of the regular season like it's the preseason. He's not sure who they are because he wants to see it in real time against real opponents. But that was back with Tom Brady. But he did that. I want to see what you do the final month of the season. Who are you? And I think we saw that with Cleveland. I think we saw that with Baltimore. These and the Rams. You know, even the Rams yesterday. You know, who would have thought they fall off the radar after the Super Bowl? And then all of a sudden, everybody jumps off Jared Goff's bandwagon. Sean McVay's not the offensive genius that we thought. But Sean McVay reinvented the Rams. They trade for Jalen Ramsey. You have Aaron Donald there. And that defense is probably the best defense in football. And Jalen Ramsey is not just talk. You have that and you have Aaron Donald. And Aaron Donald got hurt in the third quarter. Hopefully he'll be available against Green Bay. I don't know what they have offensively. They're a running team. And if Jared Goff is in there, how much can you, you know, depend on him to throw against Green Bay? He'll get healthier. I don't know if he'll be healthy against Green Bay. But you look at these teams and you wonder about their identity. I thought the 49ers last year knew who they were as well as anybody. And then they got into the Super Bowl and they forgot who they were. Kansas City knows who they are. But I also think they need to understand you can't flirt with danger here. You might go, well, Cleveland, we're playing the Browns. No, you can't take that approach here. It's just like Buffalo playing at home against Baltimore. You can't go, well, they can't throw the ball. They can only run the ball. Baltimore knows who they are. The reason why Buffalo got a lot of momentum, it felt like they know and knew who they were. Those are the teams that are always dangerous in the playoffs. Not one of those, I don't know, sometimes we throw, sometimes we run. That's not going to be, it's got to be sustainable there. And watching the football over the weekend, you know, you probably come away with as many questions as you do answers there. I thought the Colts were a better team than the Bills. The Rams manhandled Seattle. I thought the 31-23 win by the Buccaneers was very deceiving because I don't think Tampa Bay was that much better than Washington, believe it or not. The Ravens over the Titans, you know, it's 10-0. And that's where you think, okay, now we make Baltimore one-dimensional, and then we're going to run the football and have play-action pass with Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry. The Saints against the Bears, I tried to act like I was interested. I was sending text messages to Paulie because he's a Bears fan. I was like, I'm really struggling to watch this game. And then the Browns and the Steelers, I like what I see with the Browns. I thought the Browns were a better team, and if Kevin Stefanski was on the sidelines last night, I was picking them to beat the Steelers. Turns out they didn't need their head coach on the sidelines. Pretty amazing. We'll check in with the Steelers, Ed Bouchette, who has covered this team since 1985. He'll join us. Do they bring back Ben Roethlisberger? Here is Ben on that decision, whether or not he comes back next year.
Talk with my family, discussions, decisions, and you know, I still have a year left on my contract. I hope the Steelers want me back if that's the way we go, and there'll be a lot of discussions, but now's not the time for that.
Yeah, I agree. I'm sure the Steelers will say the right thing, just like the Colts will say the right thing. I don't know what the Bears do. Do the Bears bring back Mitchell Trubisky for a year plus? Not sure. But would I want Mitchell Trubisky back? No. I would not. But tell me who is going to be my starting quarterback. You know, it's the same thing with the Colts. Phillip Rivers played well. Maybe he didn't play great against Buffalo, and he does look like he's laboring to throw the ball 20 yards. But his numbers were good. They became a running team, a great offensive line. That's a young, talented defense there. They might be a dynamic quarterback away from going to the Super Bowl. Yeah, McLevin.
I was surprised by the Bills because they've been blowing people out. They haven't had a non-double-digit win since like 2 months.
Yeah.
But I looking at their schedule, it was all bad teams. Like they, I got fooled a little bit. Is it possible I got fooled?
Yeah.
I mean, Miami, they destroyed Miami and they didn't even play their starters last week.
But it comes down to Josh Allen was the best player on the field and Josh Allen made some plays there. But I thought the Colts were the better team. Yeah, Paul.
I was just about to say the same thing. I was watching that game going, the Bills are going to give this up because they can't stop the Colts running game. Jonathan Taylor was just pushing them around and you know, they did save it. The Stephon Diggs trade is unbelievable, but it didn't feel good the first three quarters.
We also have a national title game. Oh, by the way, do you know they would have gotten more publicity if they did postpone this game? Because we just got through with six NFL games. And you know, now you have the national title game tonight. If I'm the national title game committee, I wouldn't test anybody today. You know what? Just show up. Let's play. Who cares? Let's just get this game over with here. Brush your teeth, comb your hair, maybe take a shower, get out there. Let's go. Let's just play some football. Let's go. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle, @DP Show. Baker Mayfield, who doesn't listen to this show apparently, said that nobody thought that they could win last night.
It wasn't about that specifically. Yeah, it's the same quote, but we believe in the people in this room no matter what's going on. As soon as the COVID news came out that we were missing some key guys, obviously starting with our head coach, we knew that everybody was counting us out, and we knew what mentality we were going to have, and it's just to cut it loose and go out there and give it everything we had. But there was no added pressure. There was no extra anything. It was just for us to go out and do our job because no one believed in us besides us.
Don't get goofy. Don't get cocky. Just know who you are. It's round one of the playoffs. You want to feel a little bit more swag? Beat Kansas City in Kansas City. You want to go a little bit nuts? Then you can do that. Even then, I would caution you. Just play who you are. That's it. Just be who you are. Don't have to be anything. Don't have to do anything. Baker doesn't have to shoot another commercial. Just go in there, be who you are, and then take your chances there. It's just, I get nervous sometimes when I see these younger players, younger teams, and all of a sudden, man, they get so cocky and, yeah, we told you guys. Like, this is not payback time. This is not I told you. Nobody believed it. This is just, hey, all of us in here, we went out. We thought we could win. We got a great coach, great philosophy. We did what we're supposed to do. Don't tell anybody you didn't believe in us. Move forward. Yes, McClellan.
I was wrong about the last week, but I think they need to be somebody else. They need to be a better team with a starting healthy front line. How are they going to beat the Chiefs? Just because, like,
they're going to have their guard back.
But didn't Conklin walk off hurt last night?
No,
like, feel like,
yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I just feel like they're such underdogs here. Can they really do it against the Chiefs?
Sure, absolutely. Like, you can never say never in sports. How many times when we go, oh, you got no chance? I mean, we're littered with stupid takes like that. You got no chance. All right, Cleveland is what, a 9-10 point underdog? Is that what they are, Paul?
I got the Chiefs giving the Browns 11 right now.
Okay.
You want the rest of the lines?
Yeah, sure.
Entertainment purposes?
Yeah, why not?
The Packers are giving the Rams 7.
Okay.
The Bills are giving the Ravens 2.5 at the Bills.
Ooh.
Yes, saucy.
Ooh.
Saints at home giving 3 to the Bucks.
All right, some phone calls as we always do every Monday, best and worst of the weekend. Brady Quinn, former Cleveland Browns quarterback. He works for Fox. He'll join us as we preview the national title game coming up. Have we seen anything on Jalen Waddle of Alabama? I assume he's playing. I don't know if there's been any update here, but I would assume that he's going to be playing. Yes, Paul.
If you're Jalen Waddle of Alabama, would you push to play to make a point? You know, if you walk on the field, you get seen, a reminder. I know Devonta Smith is fantastic, but I was the best guy here 2 months ago. You're risking another injury. You're risking the draft, but the statement of showing up on the field.
I'm going to guess you want to play in the national title game.
Of course.
I know you don't want to hurt your draft stock or, oh my gosh, he's not as good as Devonta Smith. I understand that. I understand all of those questions or at least thoughts, but if I haven't played in a long time and I have a chance to play, yeah, I would go out there. It might not be the right business decision because we see guys that if this was a bowl game, not a national title game, if this was the Outback, then does Jalen Waddle play? And the answer is no. Yes, Todd.
And from a team standpoint, even if he's just a decoy, getting him out there and that's just one more of all the weapons they already have that Ohio State might have to worry about, not knowing exactly how healthy he is, can only help them.
Brian in New Jersey. Hey, Brian, what's on your mind today?
Mr. Patrick, how are you?
Good, sir.
Hopefully you guys had a good weekend. Best of the weekend. We always talk about bad beats. Well, we had a pretty late touchdown yesterday in the Chicago Bears-New Orleans Saints game. I took a live bet of $500 on the live line 12.5. So that last second touchdown was a nice winner. And then worst of the weekend, I'm just wondering, maybe you can shed some insight. Is Doug Peterson just trying to get fired? I'm not a Philly fan, but I'm an NFC East fan, and just don't get what he's doing with management and the owner.
Well, have a good yeah, thank you. Thank you, Brian. Yeah, Doug Peterson, the Eagles coach, is meeting with Jeffrey Lurie today. I don't know if it was a report, because I read so much. Maybe it was just this could happen, that the Eagles could trade Doug Peterson to the Jets. and so Joe Douglas used to work with the Eagles. He's the GM. And I thought, oh, my God, like, wait, how about I just wait for Doug Peterson to get fired? Why do I want to trade for this coach?
There should be a rule that if you trade for a coach has to be thrown into the trade. Even like if it's a quality control coach, some like 24-year-old kid who does analytics.
Like Ray Hanley.
Yeah.
The rights to Rex Ryan, you know, that get traded back to you. Yeah, Paul.
That Bears game, they won. So the line changed a lot, but a lot of people had the Bears getting 11.5. The Bears scored that last touchdown of the game. Usually you kick the extra point no matter what. But in 2018, the NFL made a change because in a playoff game, Stephon Diggs caught a touchdown. All the teams ran off, and they made him come back on to do a useless extra point because the rule was in place. Now the 2018 rule change said if a touchdown is made on the last play, if the extra point doesn't affect the outcome of the game, they don't have to do it. I don't know if the Bears could have chosen to do it or not. I don't think that's a factor, but it was unnecessary. But a lot of people did not know the rule in real time. And a lot of people who had the Bears were, like, freaking out.
Rob in Idaho. Hey, Rob. Best and worst of the weekend.
Hey, Dan. Hey, first, one of my big life worst, my dad is in the hospital on a ventilator in the ICU right now, fighting for his life against COVID, which just makes you all the more important to me as I think back even to the days of the Big Show. It was a time of real healing for my father and I and bonding over your show. We both loved what you guys were doing. And so you mean a lot to me, Dan. But beyond that, two worsts. Now, the Steelers, just not good. But when the Browns iced the win with that interception, I so wanted Al Michaels to say it's talkie-talkie with the takey-takey. That may have vaulted him, vaulted over. Do you believe in miracles? And I'm left wondering what it might have been, Dan.
Hey, good luck to your father, Rob, and thank you. Thank you. Yeah, you know what? Being in the Northeast, we heard so much, we knew so much about those who were dying from COVID because it really hit hard. This was the epicenter in the United States. And I remember people who were spread out around the country said, you know, we can't relate. Like, we don't have any positive test here. And I said, look, I hate to say it, but it's coming your way. And, you know, we still have so many who have tested positive. And these frontline workers, I hope that they are getting the vaccine. I hope. I found out last week that, you know, I'm able to get it. I have a compromised immune system. I didn't know if I could even get the vaccine, that they were worried that it, you know, might have an adverse effect on me or leave me more vulnerable. But I just said, look, I'm on no list. I'll get it when it comes my turn. But these people on the front lines, please make way for them. Those in the nursing homes and those on the front lines, please, please make way for them. All right, we'll take a break. We'll check in on the Steelers because I don't know. I know it's the end of the season. Is it the end of an era for Ben Roethlisberger? More of your phone calls as well. 20 after the hour here on the Dan Patrick Show. Boy, I love this product, M Drive. And, you know, the reason is, at my age, I want to show up every day, have energy, and I'm competing against guys. I guess I'm competing against guys who are probably 25, 30 years younger than me. But M-Drive was created, it was about 10 years ago, by an elite scientist, and he made it for himself. He just wanted to fight back against aging and refused to let age beat him. It's not like I'm going to look like Keanu Reeves anytime soon. You know, Keanu Reeves looks like he's 35. Whoa.
Whoa.
But you know, do you have energy? Are you gaining weight, losing your drive? Do you have that feeling in the afternoon where you just don't want to work out? Try M-Drive, and they have a lot of different supplements there, but it's really for somebody who has no plans on slowing down. You want to work out. You want to be healthy. You want to eat right. You want to have energy. Energy, strength, drive. Go to mdrivedan.com today. You get free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Go to mdrivedan.com and refind your prime with mDrive. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. More phone calls coming up. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. McLovin, update the poll results.
Okay, our one was who should be the most disappointed fan base. Pittsburgh, 62%, blows away everyone else. Now we switch it up to who's most likely to retire, Ben Roethlisberger, Philip Rivers, or Drew Brees.
Okay. You can dial us up. We'll get to more phone calls, best and worst of the weekend. I was reading Ed Bouchette's column, and he covers the Steelers. He's been covering the Steelers since 1985, I believe, and his column with The Athletic summing up last night. Here is the last line of his column. It was more than the end of a season. It might be the end of an era. Ed Bouchette joins us. Ed, was it the end of an era for Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers?
Well, we're going to probably find out rather quickly, Dan. He's due a $15 million roster bonus in the middle of March, and they're going to have to decide whether to pay that, whether to wrap it into an extension, if you will, somehow. Or if he retires, I don't think you'll see him play anywhere else. He doesn't want to. But they have a massive problem with the salary cap. They only have 34 players under contract. Some of their better guys are free agents. This does not look like a team that's going to contend this next season. And if you're Ben Roethlisberger, why would you want to play if you can't contend?
What happened after going 11-0?
You know, I still haven't gotten a straight answer why they went to this short passing game, but it was working. He got rid of the ball, everybody knows, faster than anybody in the league after spending most of his career holding on to it longer than anyone in the league. And then defenses caught up to him. They started ganging around the line of scrimmage. All of a sudden, their running game was ineffective. They were batting down Ben's passes at the line because they knew they couldn't get to him in a sack. And for whatever reason, they did not adjust to throwing it deeper until late, late, late.
When did you know that the Steelers were in trouble last night?
How about the first snap of the game? that was bad. But, you know, they have the kind of firepower to overcome that. And we saw that in the second half. And then Ben just did not look good at all for most of that first half. He was not only throwing three interceptions, he was throwing overthrowing guys, throwing wide behind them on slants that were open. I mean, he had some receivers open. He just didn't hit them. And why there was such a difference in the second half with his accuracy, I don't know. But we've seen a lot of that this year, Dan, where he's had a terrible half, one or the other, and then a Big Ben half the next one.
Are the Browns going to be in the market for a high-end quarterback? Are they going to be going into this draft, or are they going to go into the offseason thinking, you know, can we kick the tires on Matt Stafford or maybe one of the younger quarterbacks, Sam Darnold, if he would be available, or somebody in the draft? What do you think the philosophy is going to be?
I think it would be if Ben retires, I think they would just go with Mason Rudolph. And if there would be a quarterback available in the first round in the 20s where they're going to be drafting that they like, they could take him. But I don't see that happening, Dan. I think you're looking at 2022 before they get another quarterback. They're not going to trade for one of those guys. First of all, they need the draft capital to rebuild their team. And why would you bring a guy like Darnold in who's going to be on the last year of his contract anyway? And they're not going to sign a free agent. They don't have the money. They're going to be $20 million. Right now, they're projected to be $20 million over the cap with only 34 players under contract.
Assess the Cleveland Browns with what you saw last night, that maybe what you didn't or did see earlier in the season with the Cleveland Browns.
Well, I saw some toughness, some moxie. They were facing all kinds of dilemmas without their head coach, without both line coaches, and then they're losing offensive linemen. They didn't have their best cornerback. They didn't have their number three cornerback, and they came in here and just cleaned up. They showed me a lot, and so did the quarterback.
Yeah, and I talked about this a couple of times already today of finding your identity, like knowing who you are. Cleveland knew and knows who they are. I don't think Pittsburgh knows or knew who they were last night.
They've been two different teams, Dan. They were the 11-0 team, and then they finished 1-5. Yeah. And they barely beat some of those teams that they won 11-0. Dallas Cowboys, it was a terrible game for them. The ravaged Baltimore Ravens, you know, missing half their team. They barely beat them. They had to come back to beat the Colts, their only victory in their last six games. And that was a big comeback from 17 down. I think that game actually gave them hope. But they have some really tough decisions, and I don't know that there are going to be very many good ones coming up.
I know it's always a delicate situation when you're dealing with Hall of Famers and, you know, like Drew Brees with the Saints. Does Sean Payton really want him back, or I kind of publicly want him back? How do the Steelers, if they want to give the message to Ben, deliver that message in a professional, polite, respectable way that they don't want him back?
You know, they couldn't do that with Troy Polamalu. That was getting kind of ugly. He almost left to go to another team, but he finally retired. Ben, I think, will realize it on his own. And I think what they'll do is tell him, lay out the rebuilding they're going to have to go through. And do you want to go through this with us?
How do you think?
Why would he want to? I mean, he's made enough money. He's not coming back to – he has $19 million on the table extra to be made. He's a $41 million cap hit. He would be $22 million if he retired cap hit, but he has $19 million he could make. I don't think that's his motivation. He wants to win. He desperately wanted to win another Super Bowl, and it doesn't look like that's going to happen. And I don't see him going anywhere else, Dan.
Football going to be on TVs in Pittsburgh this weekend?
You know, in the past once the season ended abruptly in the playoffs, people lose interest. But this is a football town. I think you'll see them. I think you'll see a lot of ratings coming out of Pittsburgh for the NFL.
Is there a more painful game in your history of covering the Steelers than last
week? Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's been many. Dan, you mentioned I've been around for a long time. I remember the 94 AFC title game when they were like 10-point favorites to beat San Diego and go to the Super Bowl, and they lost. That was the worst. That was absolutely the worst. And their most recent loss before this one in 2017 at home to Jacksonville after they went 13-3. And by the way, that game was 45-42. They've given up a lot of points in these last two playoff games, both at home.
Ed, thanks for getting up. We appreciate it. And enjoy the offseason.
All right, Dan, thank you.
That's Ed Bouchette. He's been covering the team, as I mentioned, and he did. He's been covering them for a long time, 1985. He covers the Steelers for The Athletic. That first snap, and it's one of those where I'm coming back to, you know, my area where I watch the game. I'm getting a beer because I'm thinking, all right, let me settle in here. Let me see what Steelers going to do. All of a sudden, I'm like, whoa, what just happened? Now, my wife's in the other room, and she never knows, like, if it's really good or really bad. She'll go, what? And I go, I don't know. Oh, the Browns scored. And then she goes, are you rooting for the Browns? I go, I'm not rooting for anybody. And she goes, okay, is that a good thing? And I said, I think it's a good thing to make this game interesting. And then she comes back and it's 28-0. And she goes, is it still a good game? And I go, no, it's not. It's 28-0 here. But it was one of those moments where I'm thinking, all right, Ben's going to settle in, get a little couple passes here, a couple running game plays. All right, let me see what we have. And all of a sudden, it didn't go over as – I mean, it's almost as if Pouncey was trying to say, I wonder if I can hike this through the goalpost. I wonder if I can hike this all the way to the end zone. Yeah, Paulie.
When the Steelers are down 12 points in the fourth quarter and they punt, imagine if this game went the other way and they get a touchdown in that drive and it's a five-point game and they win. Can you imagine what we'd be talking about today if the Browns gave up 28-0?
Oh, I know.
Because it's not out of the question. I know they played really well and they closed them out, but it was 12 a couple times.
Oh, I knew. But when Mike Tomlin elected to punt, I went, no, somebody, no, he's, no, he's just giving the impression that, the, and I go, well, he didn't have any running game, and Ben's not going to do a quarterback sneak, and I go, oh, wow. This one is going to be brought up on Monday. The Browns center, J.C. Treader, will join us on the program tomorrow. Like how Baker had to introduce himself to his offensive lineman. The guy had to drive like 500 miles to play. You know, he's one of those practice squad guys or somebody just signed. He goes, hi, I'm Blake. I'm your offensive guard. Yeah, crazy night. No coaches, no problem. So J.C. Treader, the center, will join us on the program tomorrow. Al in Atlanta. Hey, Al, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. Got a best and a worst. Okay. And I got a little bit, one thing I got a question for you.
Okay.
Are you trying to give me a heart attack, Dan? You finished last week hinting that the Bulldogs possibly are under investigation. You start this week saying we might not have Matt Ryan in Atlanta next year.
My job is to give you information. I don't play any favorites here, Al, and it's not official. I just want to tell you what I was told. Tennessee's under investigation, and the same guy who told me about Georgia, you know, maybe next in the on-deck circle, is the guy who told me about Tennessee. He told me about Tennessee probably 3 months ago, and he has hinted at Georgia got sloppy in recruiting, and they're in the on-deck circle. So that's all I have. Your own owner has talked about he's not sure if Matt Ryan's going to be back, Al. So my job is just to give you information.
I take more stock in what you say.
Okay. Dan. All right. Thank you.
But my best is the Browns showing up and showing out. It seems like the more people you take away from them, the better they get as a team. They just rally and just win. And my worst is losing all of the winnings I earned on November 3rd, betting with Seton against Tommy and the Tux. It was painful.
All right. Well, thank you, Al. Yeah, I don't have any bias here whatsoever. I just tell you what I hear. And we saw this in the offseason with Tennessee Volunteers. And I said, Paulie, Tennessee is doing too well in recruiting. This goes back to Ole Miss a couple of years ago. This is March and April. And they had a big recruiting class. And I said, Paulie, this isn't good. I said they did too well.
They're too hot, you said.
Yep, too hot. And so I reached out to a source. I said, you know, Tennessee's making it too obvious here. And my source said yes. And they'll be under investigation. And also, Georgia's getting sloppy in recruiting, and they will as well. That's what was said in March and April. So I just tell you what I find out. Yeah. Yeah, Paul.
How do the teams not know this? You can't go too hot too fast. Like, remember Nick Nolte, Western California, whatever that team was, when he signed, you know, when he signed Shaq and he signed Butch McCray and all those guys? Too hot, too fast.
Yes.
Kid wanted like $20,000 in a bag and a new tractor.
Yeah. Yeah. too hot. Too hot. James in Virginia. James, welcome back.
Oh, good morning, brother. Happy Monday. Thank you for taking my call. We are Washington. Man, I got to say, probably the best game of the weekend, man, maybe outside of Tennessee-Baltimore. That was a slugfest. But, man, Washington showed out, man. I was talking to your producer. I'm an ODU alum, man, so I knew Heineke can spin it. I don't know about him going forward once they get more tape on a guy. But for that game and that night, man, he showed out, man. And I just got to say thank you to the Washington team, man, because it's been a long time. It was a competitive game. What are you going to do against Tom Terrific? He was terrific. But going forward, it's an ever more important case that a head coach can change a team and a philosophy. And you saw that with Ron Rivera, man. I thank you, Ron Rivera. Thank you, Washington. And thank you, DP, man. Y'all have a great day.
All right, James. Thank you. You should feel good. Should feel good about your franchise. Got a name change. You brought in a new coach. Alex Smith with a great comeback. Dwayne Haskins is gone. And moving forward, you got some skilled position players, got a good defense here. What's wrong, McLovin?
The Eagles fan in me is bristling at all of this. You're 7-9.
I know, but if I said who's in better shape, Washington or the Giants or the Eagles?
See, I still don't trust. There's too much recent damage. I still don't trust Washington to get it right. And who's their quarterback next year?
Well, that's what's amazing. They went 7-9 with, you know, a quarterbacking situation that was in a state of flux. I think Ron Rivera did a wonderful job. I know you could give Kevin Stefanski coach of the year. You know, Ron Rivera was battling cancer and having to deal with, you know, the debris left over by Daniel Snyder and, you know, Dwayne Haskins, Alex Smith coming back. I mean, it was a good story. And I thought they played well. They played a lot better than I think that score would indicate against Tampa Bay. And, you know, they got Brady a couple of times. Chase Young didn't, but they got a couple of sacks in here. The one thing that I noticed with Brady, it wasn't a great completion percentage game for him, but the thing you have to understand that Brady did is those completions were downfield. A lot of these quarterbacks now, it's just, I'm going to throw it, you know, 4 yards here, 3 yards here, 7 yards here, may try for one, load up and throw a deep one. Brady's throwing the ball. Throwing the ball downfield, and that's against a good defensive front that, you know, was coming after him. You know, they told him they were coming after him. So New Orleans, in looking at that game film, I'm really curious about what they're going to see with the Buccaneers this time around that they didn't see in the two previous meetings. More phone calls coming up. Coming up next, we'll give you our best and worst of the weekend here on The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. I don't think Baker Mayfield was even hit last night by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Meanwhile, Russell Wilson Jr. III got sacked 5 times. He got hit 10 times. He was under pressure. You know, you start to look at this, and it's got to be frustrating for Seattle. I thought the defense came back to life second half of the season. The offense was so good in the first half of the season, and it's almost like they flipped. Seattle's defense was headed towards a historically bad season. One of those where you look at the numbers and you go, that's one of the worst seasons in NFL history a defense has ever put up. Then they made the trade, got Dunlap there, Jamal Adams in the lineup there. It felt like they did what they were supposed to do yesterday, because you would think that Russ would be able to put up enough offense at home with those weapons. If I said DK Metcalf's going to have 2 touchdown receptions, and you go, okay, I'll take that against Jalen Ramsey. But, you know, they couldn't establish anything. And the Rams did just enough with that defense. Just enough. You know, that defense is so good. And the offense, okay, you got a couple of, you got the 1 touchdown. You know, that was a great play call by Sean McVay. But they ran the football. Cam Akers looked great. Control the clock. And I was not surprised at that one at all. This is the first time in postseason history that a quarterback has had at least 4 touchdown passes and at least 4 interceptions in a single game. Ben Roethlisberger. It was the 3rd time in any game in history, regular season or playoffs, that a player has thrown for at least 500 yards and had 4 interceptions in a game. Dan Marino did it once. Boomer Esiason did it once as well. Let's go around the room. Best and worst of the weekend. Todd, I'll start with you.
Best of the weekend, LaMelo Ball becomes the youngest player in NBA history to get a triple-double, 22 points, 12 rebounds, 11 boards, 11 assists Saturday night. The Hornets beat the Hawks 113-105. He was also 1 assist away from doing it the night before.
I don't, it feels like you're trying to steal LaMelo Ball from me, Todd.
Really?
Yeah. Of all the things, best and worst of the weekend. And then you pick out LaMelo Ball.
I thought that stood out to me, especially because he came 1 assist away from doing it the night before.
Hey, okay.
And then he finally does it the day after. We could share the balls a little bit.
We're not going to share balls.
We shouldn't do that.
Do you know any of his other games this year?
Not really.
Yeah, I didn't think so. What's the worst of the week?
The Colts missed opportunities in Buffalo. Dropped passes, a bad offsides penalty, red zone issues, a missed field goal. They could have been up 13 or 17-7 at the half, but found themselves down 14-10 at the break.
By the way, Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing. Discover's accepted at 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes2020. Nielsen report. Limitations apply. McLovin, best and worst of the weekend.
My best is going to be Nate Burleson. I love the way he explained all the simple things of the game.
On Nickelodeon.
I'm so sorry. I heard Paulie announce to the room that he was going to do that as best. And I thought we're stealing for best or worst today.
Paulie called it during the commercial
break.
Todd
took yours. He took LaMelo Ball for play of the day.
It doesn't mean you should take Paulie's.
I thought it was a good one, though.
Okay.
I can't tell if this is a best or worst. Is it best that the Ravens shut down Derrick Henry, or is it worse that Derrick Henry completely no-showed against a team that he'd run all over every time he played them?
I don't know what happened. I just know that Baltimore had an answer for Derrick Henry, and not many teams do this time of the year. Because I've been saying Derrick Henry in December and January, big difference than who he is, you know, starting the season. But you know, I give credit to Baltimore. They had a great game plan, and they executed it. Seton O'Connor, best and worst of the weekend.
My best of the weekend is Saints cornerback C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who's clearly the best trash talker in the league. Jalen Ramsey, okay, I get it, you're good too, but this dude has gotten two Bears wide receivers to punch him in the face during a game, getting them ejected in different games. They knew going into this game, watch out for that guy. He's got to talk trash this whole time. Don't punch him in the face, and they still had to. And then not only that, but he's the same dude that Michael Thomas in practice punched in the face. And that led to Michael Thomas getting sat for a game. So he's even got his own teammates punching him in the face. Man, how could you be that good of a trash talker? That's amazing.
The fact that the penalty occurred right in front of the official. You know, whenever you, like you would hit your brother, he'd hit you and then you'd hit him back. He would hit you, mom's not around, and then you would hit him and then mom would be there and then you'd get punished. That was sort of the feeling that I had with that. And you're like, oh, my God. Like, right in front. Did you have a worst?
My worst of the weekend is, man, the fall of Juju Smith-Schuster. Huh? Which is funny, too, because it's not like he's really done anything bad other than he dances. He does, like, TikTok dances, and people, for some reason, have a huge problem with that. But, man, what an odd year for him.
Paulie, best and worst.
The Nickelodeon broadcast, former NFL wide receiver Nate Burleson had a great game. I love the way he explained things to the kids, like, Cole Kmet, use your words. You know, when Cole Kmet was yelling at the refs, who would he say it away? Kids could digest it. It's unfortunate Nate Burleson wasn't still a wide receiver because the worst of the weekend is the Bears wide receivers. Javon Wims decides to drop an end zone touchdown, which would put them up 10-7 at halftime, the Bears. And then Anthony Miller decides, all right, we're already down a wide receiver. How about I get kicked out of a playoff game? So, and it'll be all blamed on Mitch Trubisky.
Just let it go, Paulie.
Yeah.
Let it go.
It's over.
Like how Paulie doesn't get too involved with the Bears until everybody is watching the Bears play. It's a standalone game, and then everybody's got a comment. Therefore, Paulie gets defensive about his Bears, or it hurts even more.
But it's always bad. I never come in here on a Monday going, look at my team, because it doesn't happen.
Yeah, McLovin.
There are a lot of times Nate Burleson was explaining rules, and I was like, oh, so that's what a legal procedure means. I learned a ton about what the actual game I watch all the time means.
Yeah, I thought it was really well done. I was skeptical. And I was pleasantly surprised with what Nickelodeon did. Thought it was well done. More phone calls from you coming up. Best and worst of the weekend. Brady Quinn, he will tell us who's going to win tonight's national title game. Final hour this Monday coming up. One more item in the second hour. Quality sleep is essential for optimum health, performance, and sanity. Getting the right amount of sleep can help make you make healthier decisions. And the more you sleep, the better you exercise. The more you exercise, the better you sleep, the better you eat. It's a great cycle to be in. If you have a New Year's resolution and you're trying to keep it, well, keep this in mind. Less than 10% of New Year's resolutions are kept. So how about a good night's sleep as your resolution? That should be easy to keep, right? And you know who makes it even easier? Sleep Number. Make quality sleep your New Year's resolution and save up to $1,000 on the new Sleep Number 360 smart bed, plus special financing. This is for a limited time only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com/Patrick. You want to make sure that you understand what sleep can do for you. Natural immunity booster helps with energy and recovery, and this is the bed to buy. Sleep Number. Go to Sleep Number store, sleepnumber.com/Patrick. Sleep Number, the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL.